in prayer. Father, we come now to the time in the service where we proclaim your word. We hear what you have given us in that word, Lord, for our faith, for our lives, for everything that we do and see and hear and think. And Lord God, we just turn this over to you. In fact, Lord, I ask that you remove me from it and let your word speak for itself. And Lord, as we praise you, as we honor you, let us learn from you that we may have the wisdom that only you can give. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I really love that that song was chosen because we're going to be talking about faith today. And we're going to talk about how we understand that it is by grace through faith that we are saved. And this not of ourselves, not by works, lest any man should boast. One of the greatest debates within Christianity is the argument over, do we have salvation by faith alone, or salvation through a combination of faith and works? Now, most Protestant Christians will tell you, at least to some degree, that we are saved by faith alone. And then we have groups such as the Catholic Church that teaches that you are saved by a combination of faith and works. And usually when they talk about works, they talk about the sacraments. Okay? But the Bible is very clear. But unfortunately in our history, Christian history, we've actually killed one another over this distinction. Now, no one can argue that a true believer in Christ will show his or her faith by the action of works. Of course, you know them by their fruit. You know them by what you do. But I would argue today, based on the Scripture, that our salvation comes by faith, and then because we are saved, we do good works to honor God. So the works themselves does not save us, but they do show that we have the faith we need to start with. Now, this argument comes from understanding whether it is the believer's faith in the finished work of Christ and not their own righteousness that holds the key to salvation, or is it the doing of good things? That means God's will that accomplishes the necessary things for salvation. And as I said, the Bible is clear. In fact, I just said to you one of the key verses in this argument, Ephesians 2:8. It's very clear. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That means we have the faith in Christ Jesus unto good works. Therefore, once we have the faith, we do the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That doesn't mean God says, okay, Brother Charles, on a certain date at a certain time, you're going to do a certain thing. No, He tells me that because you are my child, when I give you opportunity, you're going to do the good works that I give you to do. That's what it means by foreordained. We are chosen to do good works because of our faith. Because of our faith. Now, let me explain something here. The world will tell you, well, I can do good works without having any kind of faith. Yes, but when you do good works with faith, what is the ultimate goal of that? It's self-righteousness. Look at me. Look how good I am. Look what I can do. I don't need God. I can do all this on my own. And where's that going to get you when your eyes close? You know, we all do things to make ourselves better. There's nothing wrong with doing things to make yourself better. Get a better job, better schooling, better situation. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing things to please God. And without faith, you cannot please God. And that's something the Bible's clear about. The simplicity of this fact confounds many people. Have you ever been confounded? That's like consarnate. Have you ever been said, oh, consarnate? Well, confound it is another way. That's one of them Granny Clampin expressions. If you know who I'm talking about, you're my age, okay? It's one of those things that confuses you. How can we be saved unless we do something? That's the argument. We got to do something to be saved. Well, we do something. We believe. Now, that's not a work in the traditional sense. It's not going out and feeding the poor and giving clothes to the naked and protecting the helpless. We do those things because we love God, but those things in themselves do not save us. Works do not save because man would claim righteousness on his own. That's the theme. Now, under the old covenant system, yes, there were works to do. The sacrifices, the feast, all those things. And they were good, but they all pointed us toward Christ. We go through that on Sunday night all the time. If you don't come on Sunday night, please come. We have a good time there. It's very laid back. We get to sing a few hymns. We get to teach. We get to laugh. You hear an occasional joke from the pastor. So far, nobody's thrown a hymnal at me at one of those jokes, but you know, times are coming. But the point is, if I checked off the boxes, if I did this, this, and this by works, then I could say, I am a better person than you because I did this and you had. That is not the way God teaches us in the New Testament. The Old Testament pointed toward the New. It is fulfilled by Christ in the New. Righteousness is a gift received from God through the work of Christ so that we who believe might be reconciled unto God. In fact, belief leads to righteousness. And that's one of the key things we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. Belief leads to righteousness. God gives you the righteousness of Christ because you believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's where you get your righteousness, from Him. Romans 10 says it very clearly. But what saith it? Starting at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Key word, the word of faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Your mouth gives a clue to what's on your inside. If you're angry and bitter and hateful, then what comes out of your mouth is going to show. If you're praising and rejoicing and happy and joyful, what comes out of your mouth is going to show. Now, honestly, people, which kind of person would you rather be around? Now, I do know there's times when somebody can be overly happy, especially when you're in a bad mood and they can get to be a burr in your saddle. But that's... we're talking about people who do it out of the goodness and graciousness in their heart that God has given them through faith. And then it continues, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. And that encompasses true faith. True faith. We believe in and on Christ to receive His righteousness. And we make confession to show the inner change that belief is wrought. Now we're going to get into our text today, Galatians 3, but I wanted to give you this primer because this is important for what Paul's talking about. Because remember, Paul is dealing with these people that have come into this Galatian church and they weren't trying to convert them to Judaism. They were trying to add all the Jewish traditions onto the new faith to synergize it. Some people would argue so that it wouldn't be so foreign to the people that were hearing the gospel. But Paul was like, no, you are saved by faith and not by works. Let's get into the text. Galatians chapter 3 verses 1 through 14. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now let's stop right there. Does Paul call anybody else foolish in his text? I don't think he does. In fact, I've tried to read. Now, Jesus called, you know, hypocrites and Pharisees and stuff like that foolish. And the Bible says those that believe there's no God are fools. And we understand all that. But Paul is angry. He's trying to tell these people, look, he already jumped on them. We covered last week. Have you so soon left the gospel? Now he's calling them foolish. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learned for you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's asking, you heard the gospel. Christ came to you because you heard and believed the gospel. It was evidentially, but somebody has come in and bewitched you, deceived you, fooled you. Brothers and sisters, don't we see that today? People take the simplicity of the gospel Salvation by grace through faith. And they try to turn it into all kinds of things. And we don't even have to talk about cults and what they do. But even within evangelical Christianity, there are people coming in and saying, well, you've got to do this, this, and this, and you've got to understand it this way, and this way, this way. You don't believe this system, you don't believe that system. Brothers and sisters, salvation by grace through faith is a simple, simple concept. Children can understand it. I'm a sinner, I need God. You remember what we read out of Romans 10? That if thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Simplicity is the beauty of the Christian faith. But yet people want to pervert it. Let's keep going. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Paul's saying, am I doing all these things that you see and you experience because of the works that I'm doing, or by faith? And of course we know it's by faith. Now here we get into the stuff about belief being righteousness. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, we are not genetically the children of Abraham, but we are by faith, the same faith that Abraham showed. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him in righteousness. The book of Genesis says that. When we believe God, it is accounted to us as righteousness. We show the same faith that Abraham had. We show the same God. We worship the same God that Abraham worshiped. We receive the same blessings that he received. And I believe is walking with God. Verse 10, which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of the God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Seems we've heard that somewhere before. Paul is saying, you know, if you try to keep the law, you're going to be under a curse. Because remember when they read the blessings and the curses, when they were on one mountain, Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, I believe, and one side read the blessings and the other side, if you do not fall, if you decide to live by the works of the law, if you do not keep every cotton-picking law there, you are cursed. Because the book of James tells us if you mess up in one, you've broken them all. How many of you have never stole a cookie? How many of you have never had a lustful thought at some time in your life? How many of you have never told a fib? You have broken the law of God. Therefore, you are as guilty as the murderer that sits on death row. Well, that's not fair. Nowhere in the Bible says God is fair. It says He's just and He's righteous and He wants to give you His righteousness. No man is justified by the law in the sight of the God. That's why they had to have the sacrifices and the Day of Atonement and the festivals, because God wanted them to be reconciled unto Him. So He gave them that way before the right time when Christ came. Remember, Christ came at the right time for it to be spread, this faith of God, all over the world. And it says, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just, the righteous, the justified, those that are made right and reconciled with God Almighty are done so by faith. Old Testament as well as New Testament. The Jews of bygone era were justified by their faith in God. They showed their faith by keeping the law. We show our faith by believing what God has promised. It's an amazing thing. And verse 12 says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. Faith. Believing what is true. It said Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you know the only person that ever kept the law 100% was Jesus Himself? No one else. Well, He was God. He could do it. He was 100% God. You're right. But He was 100% man. So when those temptations came, they came as full force as they did on Him as they do on us. But yet, He was without sin. Therefore, He could take on the curse for other people. That's why our sins are put to Him. And when He was crucified, our sins were crucified with Him because He could take because He didn't have His own. He didn't have His own. So Paul once again lets loose on those who choose to believe the different gospel we discussed last week. Yet in this admonition, the central tenet of salvation by faith is expressed to the audience. Now I want us to notice, go back and notice these central points. I've got 9 of them. First, Abraham's faith, that is belief in the promises of God, was accounted to him as actual righteousness of God. Do you know that when you believe God, God counts that as righteousness for you? Because when you believe God, you're believing in Christ and you've taken on His righteousness. And He's taken on your sin. Number 2, those who believe in God, that is biblical faith, are like Abraham. You know, Abraham left his home in Ur. How many of y'all seen the VeggieTales version of that? The camel goes, "Arr." Boy, I'm dating myself, aren't I? He left Ur of the Chaldees and he traveled. He had Lot and his servants and everybody with him. He had his wife at that time called Sarai, who would later become Sarah. But God promised him, and God promised him, and God promised him, and He led him to that new land. And Abraham, he didn't stay there. He decided to go out on his own. He went to Egypt, got in some trouble there, came back. You know, was waiting on God's promise and tried to fast forward a little bit. If you get my meaning, the whole Ishmael, Hagar incident. But God did not renege on His promise, because when God makes a promise, it is real. And Abraham believed Him. And no matter the mess ups that he had in his life, the wrong turns he made, the bad choices he made, he believed God. And God counted it to him as righteousness. 3, God justifies those who don't know God, that's heathen, by their faith in Him. What does that mean? When a heathen has faith, he becomes a child of God. When someone who doesn't believe God suddenly, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believes the Lord, that person is born again and is saved by grace through the faith that he shows. And 4, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. I don't know how much plainer the Bible can be. You cannot be justified in the sight of God by keeping rules. Now, you're going to keep those rules in Christ. You're going to honor and worship God in Christ. When you are in Christ, because He was perfect and He ain't dead, so therefore you're in Him, you're keeping the tenets of the law through Him. 5, the just, that's the righteous before God, will live by their faith. That's Habakkuk 2:4. We will live by our faith. I'm up here today because I have faith in the Lord God Almighty. You are here today because you have faith in the Lord God Almighty. If you didn't, you'd be out playing golf or fishing or whatever today you'd be doing. But would you have hope? Would you have promise? No, you would not. You would have what the world has, which honestly doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You don't get to take things with you when you go. And even if you have the fanciest tomb, if you're not in Christ, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. You know, sometimes I go to Mount Washington and drive around the cemetery there, and they've got the big chapel there. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's, oh, what's the guy? He has the museum. Adkins. It's the Adkins Chapel. And this thing, that thing, you could fit this church inside. It's a big old stone building. It's beautiful. Don't know what it looks on the inside, because what does the Bible say? It's whitewashed tomb on the outside, and it's full of dead men's bones. Don't want to go in there where there's a bunch of dead men's bones. Don't care how pretty it is. God might pull an Ezekiel on me. You know, I may say something and all of a sudden the bones start sticking together and coming to life. So I want to stay away from dead men's bones. But the point is, the faith that we share is important, because we are justified by our faith. Number six, keeping the law is not counted as faith. Now, shouldn't we obey the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Shouldn't we obey the greatest commandment and the second one, which is love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself? Absolutely. You should do all those things, because when you have faith in Christ, you are regenerated, you are born again, and now instead of wanting to do the sin that the world do, you want to honor God by obeying Him. However, it is the faith that led you to that point that saves you. And in Summer 7, Christ redeemed believers from the curse of the law, showing our inability to satisfy God's holy requirements for perfection. A person cannot be perfect before God by the law. So Christ kept the law for us, and He took the punishment that the law gave for not keeping the law. We understand how this works now? Christ was the law, the end of the law, for us. The law has not passed away until all things are accomplished, until the end of time. But meanwhile, we are under grace. Number 8, we Gentiles receive the blessings of Abraham through faith in Christ. We do. We receive the promises of God. They may be different promises. You know, I'm not a guy who's wearing a robe running around with a bunch of camels in the desert. I'm not Abraham. But I have the faith of Abraham. Therefore, the promises of God for Abraham means that, and He kept all of them for Abraham, that means the promises God makes me through His Word are just as real and just as true. Now, the last one is Christians receive the promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, we are promised that the Holy Comforter will come to us when we have faith. And when we believe in that moment, when we truly believe, we are filled with the Spirit of God as God has promised. He kept His promise to Abraham. He keeps His promise to us that we will be filled with the Spirit. And each one of these precepts reveal the absolute fact that it is through faith that we are saved. A righteous man will live by his faith, not by works, so that no one can boast and say, I am holier than you. I am better than you. I'm closer to God than you because I did this or that or some other thing. Brothers and sisters, you can walk into many churches and see that today. You can see people, even if it's not taught, you can see people acting. I'm holier than you. I got the biggest Bible. But of course, they haven't cracked it open. It's still got dust on the inside cover. Well, God's blessed me more than He's blessed you because I've got this, that, and that means I'm better than you. No, it doesn't. It means you may be more blessed at the moment, but you're not better than anyone. Why? Because before God, there is no Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female. There is none that has a higher standing before God, except those who are in Jesus Christ. And in fact, if faith did come by works, then God's liar and Jesus' sacrifice was useless. Think about that for a second. If man could be saved by what he did, then the only Son of God went to the cross for nothing. Now we know why He went. And we know that we can never be right with God except through Him. Behold, I am the way, the truth, and the life from John, and no man comes to the Father but by me. This is a real thing. Man could take his own way to God if this was true. However, let me put it to you this way. The only thing that you contributed to your salvation was the sin that made it necessary. You cannot save yourself by works. You have to be saved by a supernatural intervention by the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. And when you believe on that, you're saved. See how simple that is, brothers and sisters? Works cannot and will not save. However, thanks be to God Almighty that we have many examples of faith that lead to righteousness. Abraham was given as a primary example by Paul. And this was important to the Jewish audience that may have been there due to the true historical significance of Abraham in Jewish history. He is considered the main patriarch of the Israelites. But you see, we, because we have faith in Christ, are grafted into by our faith in the same God as Abraham believed. Now, that's interesting. Well, Jesus wasn't around. Oh! You remember that time Jesus got the Pharisees so mad at Him they wanted to throw rocks at Him? When He said that Abraham was glad to see His day, and the Pharisees said, "You're not even 33 years old. How can you say I saw Abraham?" And He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Think about that for a second. Christ, Jesus, said that. Abraham saw the same Lord we worship. He saw Christ in His day. We're told in many instances how, well, they have this fancy theological word. It's called a Christophany. And that just means an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And one of the times as they came and visited with Abraham and Sarah under the trees there, and there was three of them, and two of them went on to Sodom and Gomorrah to do what they had to do there. But the promise is the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord, which I believe was a pre-incarnate Christ, because He spoke in God as a first person. That's why I think that. But anyhow, they wanted to stone Jesus, but they couldn't because it wasn't yet His time. But boy, it got under their skin. And it's because Abraham was considered such an important person. Right up there with Moses and David and all of them. So what can we do to recognize that the same faith displayed by Abraham in God is with us today? Well, when we believe in Christ Jesus, it's accounted as righteousness. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21, which I've said over and over and I will continue to say over and over, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus became sin for us because He knew no sin. He took our sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God, note, in Him. You cannot be righteous before God if you are not in Christ. The Bible teaches it over and over and over. So those that say, "Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus and all that." Nope. You're going to hear that a lot. And that's usually people that want to just hang on to something they know they're doing that God wouldn't approve of. You know, a true atheist actually has to have more faith than a Christian. We believe in what's real, they believe in what's not real. So if you're going in the generic term of faith, yes, they have it. But the true biblical sense of the faith only belongs to those who believe in God through Christ in our time. And we must hold on to that. We must defend it. We must stand firm. We must warn. We must give admonition. We must teach. We must do all these things to let the truth be known. Thus, it is faith in Christ that secures our salvation, not works. Yes, as I've said 100 times, and I will keep saying, works come as a result of our faith. You can't be saved and then sit on the pew for the rest of your life and do nothing. God has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. And you may not even like what He plans, but if you do it in faith, you will be successful. "Well, I never wanted to do, but when I did, God blessed me." How many times have you heard that testimony in your life? And it is true. It is true. I'm living proof of it. You know, Shani and I started discussing about coming up here to go to seminary. You know, leaving Mississippi. Now, that's not Ur of the Chaldees, okay? We did have running water and indoor bathrooms. I want y'all to know that, all right? But yet, it would be a complete change. for both of us. Shiny had made a wonderful sacrifice when she left her homeland and came to be with me. But she trusted God. And when we decided together to trust God and come up here, honestly, I've never looked back. God had the plan, and God is faithful even when I'm not. And you know, sticking to being what He told me to do, He has blessed me with honors and trips and missions and all kind of things. But you know, one day I will have the honor of casting those crowns at the feet of my Lord. And all the gunk that a Christian has to go through will seem like the slight tickling of a feather. And it will burn away completely when we stand in the glorious Shekinah glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it is our faith in Him that saves us. One can do all manner of good things, but without faith, it is selfish and dishonorable end that we strive for. And again, look how good I am, etc. With faith, we do things God sends us to do for what? For His honor. Glory. He uses us to take care of people. He uses us to encourage people. He uses us to bless people. He uses us to go into the dark corners and tell people the truth. He blesses us in so many ways when we are obedient, and He uses us to bless others. Now that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when you go to a Christian's or even sometimes a non-Christian and you take the time to listen to them and you take the time to pray with them and you take the time to be in their lives when no one else will. You have been the hands and feet of Christ for that person. And God will honor you. But more so, He will bless the one that He sent you to. Oh my, what a good thing this is. Thus, brothers and sisters, as we begin to close, we are not to be bewitched by legalists or by anybody else of those who would cause us to check off a list in order to obtain or prove salvation. If you'll do any study into the cults, they always have these requirements you have to do. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, the ones that come knock on your door, I got a letter from one. They're getting kind of lazy because I got a letter from one the other day. You know, didn't know, I said, who is this? But it was handwritten and on the inside was a watchtower. And I'm like, man, they're getting lazy. But they have to do that. That is part of their plan of salvation. You have to go out and make so many witnesses and make so many trips and meet so many people. That is part of what they require to prove that you really believe. My Bible says all you need to show is faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus Christ. Never cause yourself anxiety or doubt in the gift and goodness of God. Do not worry. Well, I didn't do enough. I didn't give enough. I didn't go enough. You know, that's a separate issue. Your faith in the one true, living, resurrected, coming again Son of God is what stamps your passport into heaven. Your faith in Him is shared with the greats of this world. And when I mean greats, I mean those that belong to God. We already talked about Abraham, but let's go back a little bit. What about Noah? Did he have faith in God? Well, he sure built a boat of gopher wood, didn't he? And then we had Abraham, and then we had, you go a little later, we had Isaac, and then we had Jacob. Jacob got in a wrestling match. Can you imagine if that was like the WWE and Jacob was like, hey, I'm going to take on this guy. And what happened? All the angel did was touch his hip and he was crippled. And that's why they don't need a hip socket anymore of their sacrifices. And then you get on past that. You get into Moses and you get into Joshua and you get into to David and Samuel. I'm skipping a few, obviously. But you get into all these people, and then you get into the prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these guys. And then you get into the New Testament, and you got John the Baptist, or baptizer, let me put it that way. John was not a Southern Baptist. I hate to break it to you. But he was a baptizer. And then you had Peter, and you had James, and you had John, and you had the disciples, and you had Paul, and you had others like Barnabas, and you had all these wonderful men of faith, the great cloud of witnesses that is always surrounding you. Brothers and sisters, that came through faith. The Holy Spirit came to them through faith, and through that they could exercise the gifts of the Spirit and have the fruits of the Spirit. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. We believe in God and it is credited to us through Christ as righteousness. I would have it no other way. Because you know, on my own, if I could lose my salvation, I would have. You've heard that before. But that's the truth. But I cannot because I'm not my own. You know, I was joking with Christine the other day and something came on the radio or something and they were making a joke about some rich guy selling his soul to the devil. You know, that wouldn't work with me because my soul ain't mine anymore. My soul's already been bought. And it's been bought by the most precious thing in the universe, and that is the blood of the only begotten Son of God. And when we think that and we act on it and we work because we have faith, then God is pleased. And He is pleased greatly. We believe God through Christ, and we are given Christ's righteousness from the same Lord of all. Therefore, brothers and sisters, have faith. Faith is the victory. See, I didn't write that in my sermon. That's because you guys sang that. Faith is the victory. But God did that to prepare the hearts for hearing the message. Faith is not only the victory, faith gives you salvation. And amen to that. Praise team. And brothers and sisters, that's all good. And that's a great pep rally for Christians, but I'm going to. If you don't have faith, none of it means anything. Where do you stand in your relationship with Christ? Now, I really believe once you are saved, God keeps you in the palm of His hand because Romans 8 tells us that nothing can take you out of the hands of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. But there are times that I realize that sometimes we let anxiety and worry and doubt and fear come between us. Brothers and sisters, turn back to the Lord. When you find yourself in that position. And young people, if you don't know Christ, what does this world have compared to eternity? I got news for you. Many of y'all know this. Anybody that's been alive longer than 20 years, and sometimes even below that, understands that this ain't all there is. And when you have the biggest house and the biggest boat and the biggest car and the best looking spouse and all that kind of stuff, when you die, guess what? Whether you're in the pyramid or you're in the ditch, you're still dead. Glad somebody liked that. But that's true. We all end up standing before God. Now, those in faith stand before Christ at the Bema Seat and we're given our crowns and our the things that we didn't do correctly or burn up, but we're saved. But if not, you stand before the great white throne of judgment. And the books are open. And if your name is not written there, and if you're not in Christ, it's not there. Then you're going to be separated from God in the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Folks don't want preachers to talk about hell. Hell was made up. Jesus taught about hell more than He taught just about anything else. Because He didn't want people to go there. And you go there because you choose to reject God. Is God calling on your heart to either have faith or to reset, however you want to put it? You know, a lot of people don't believe in rededications. Let me tell you something. What did Peter do after he denied Christ? He rededicated himself. In fact, he jumped out of the boat buck naked and swam to the shore for a fish fry. I knew he had some redneck in him. Brothers and sisters, we can turn to Christ anytime, anywhere, for any reason. But we can only do it through faith. If you don't have faith, believe. That's what you have to do to have faith. Believe. Those that believe on the only begotten Son of God shall not be ashamed.